For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trip. Week one, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. But man, I do not want to go to Brazil. You want to know why? They already told us not to leave the hotel. They told us we can't do too much going on because the crime rate is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, NFL, why would y'all want to send us somewhere with the crime rate this high? And like, we got the country. So, you know, the first thing people think is like, something terrible can possibly happen. I told my family, do not come down there because like, I'm not going to be nowhere to be found. Really, I'm going to be in a hotel chilling, minding my business after a long 9.5 hour flight.
Darius Slay of the Eagles on the game that's coming up Friday. Season opens tomorrow. Chiefs and Ravens from Arrowhead. Then they play a game in Brazil. The Packers and the Eagles.
Yep.
And the NFL players have apparently been told to not leave their hotel.
Yep. There's also wildfires like in all across Brazil in the area.
And the Eagles are also wearing white and black.
Yeah.
So the story is you're not supposed to wear green in this stadium, but they pick two teams that wear green.
I know.
So the Packers are going to have to wear green.
The Packers are wearing their green uniforms.
And the Eagles are not. The Eagles have invented a uniform for this, white and black.
Yeah.
So
yeah. White jerseys, black helmet, black pants. Like they don't have, I think the only green on their jersey
numbers?
Is the numbers.
Yeah, I think so.
So I guess we'll see that tested, though, right? Like, are they going to throw things on the field when the Packers run out there in green?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to get.
It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Happy Wednesday. We'll get some more calls in. Asking a couple things this morning. Which are you more eager to get a look at, the Bills' offense or the Bills' defense in this season opener against Arizona? The web poll, the Twitter poll, as expected, is a blowout. It's a big, big number. Offense is at 87%. Which I think is understandable. Couple answers on this. One, it's offense over defense because we all know no matter how good the defense is, this team isn't winning anything without a top-tier offense. I tend to agree with that. Colin writes, the defense under McDermott has been consistent over the years. They should be fine. The offense is new. There's a lot to be intrigued about. Another one, Dave, I just kind of expect our defensive head coach to keep things on defense running well. John, I want to see how our offense looks with new wide receivers and Brady having a full offseason to implement his system. And Jeff tweets in, eager/worried about the offense. It's connecting with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer.
I mean, in theory, who should you trust more to lift up a unit with holes on it? A quarterback that's elite or a coach that's elite at what he does?
Well, that's a good question.
Because I've kind of... I'm now in a place where I am more worried about the offense. Like defensively, I've gotten to a point of, oh no, they're going to be fine. They're going to be perfect. McDermott, and they've got enough talent out there. Like they're going to patch the holes. They did it last year, but the way the league typically goes, like we've heard Aaron Schatz say this on the station for years, that the Bills are kind of rare. Like most defenses do not sustain top 5, top 10 units year to year to year. Like, it's tough to sustain defensive success like this. Like
injuries, salary cap.
Guys move on more quicker, and you don't have a quarterback baseline or foundation there that you always have to rely on. Like, you just, like, this happened with Seattle. He often, when he's on the station, points to Seattle. Like Seattle was the one example of they had an 8-year run where every year they were elite. But that doesn't happen all that often. The Bills have done a good job of maintaining that same level of consistency, but the league is not usually like that. The league usually is more, you got a franchise quarterback and you've got problems here and there, like you're still going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, you can have top defensive coach all you want, but if you've got holes, like you just sometimes that's going to that's going to sink you.
One thing you may or may not have done there intentionally, did you just call Sean McDermott an elite coach?
Elite defensive coach, and I think he deserves that, doesn't he?
I think it's reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, the playoff success can be... His playoff performances as a defense can be debated.
He probably needs
some, regular season.
Some playoff resume builders to continue to be called an elite defensive coach.
Okay.
Like over time, sure. There's a lot of evidence, but who are the elite defensive coaches in the league? Belichick, he's out of the league now.
Lou
Anarumo.
But he only comes to my mind because of what he does in the playoffs. The Bengals, regular season, they're not some juggernaut powerhouse defense.
Nope. Steve Spagnuolo is getting Steve that attention Spagnuolo. In Kansas City.
Yep.
Although this last year was the first time he had an actual great defense. Years past, he's not had a great defense and has found a way to put in, you know, decent performances.
Yeah, who are the elite defensive coaches, though?
I mean, is Robert Saleh an elite defensive coach? Because he's had year-over-year results. But
I would call him that.
But his teams don't win a lot of games. That's often blamed, you know, at the feet of the quarterback.
Is Tomlin?
They often have a good defense.
You think McDermott doesn't perform in the playoffs? Tomlin averages giving up 40 points per game in the playoffs.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. You can call us on that. Which side you're more eager to see in the opener and give us your general vibe on this game against Arizona. Joe Marino coming up of the Locked On Bills podcast next segment. Jay on a cell phone is next up. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, about the target distribution and the impact it has on games, I don't think it has to be, you know, directly correlated. I think a receiver, if they can be credited with a win because of 10 catches, 160, I think their target share can also be why we lost a game. You know, in the Bills situation, they start distributing the ball differently. Our win-loss record goes up. Our elite receiver has a problem with that, which coincidentally, he's the guy that doesn't make the catch in the playoffs. But, you know, a receiver like Julio Jones would have been satisfied with winning games like that and not having to be the target share. I just think you can't do that with a receiver like Diggs. But those things can be related, but they don't have to be related.
Yeah, that's fair. I think there's it's a point that's made a lot, you know, about target share and this and that. I decided to look it up to see, like, most targets in a season. And the highest number Diggs had here was 166, mm-hmm. which does not make the top 50 targeted seasons in the NFL. 50 other receivers got more targets. And you know who a lot of them are? Great receivers.
Yep.
Jerry Rice got 176 targets in a season. A couple guys got 200 targets. I didn't even remember.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
Five players got 200 targets in a season. I would just be telling, I don't know, I'm here to tell you, I could you do it to a fault? Sure. But generally, giving the ball to your best player is a good idea. Usually, that's a good idea. Right now, isn't the entire Bills offense built out of the idea that Kincaid and Shakir need to get the ball more because they were so efficient last year?
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying Kincaid and buying Shakir right now is they're going to have breakout years, they're going to have big years. The whole point is I'd like to see their targets go up by how much? You have to call plays. You have to put guys in progressions. Targets, and this is let's remove the sensitive subject that Diggs is for so many people. Targets are earned. The teams don't throw the ball to guys that don't earn that don't deserve targets. Usually. You have to prove it over time. I mean, Shakir sat here and said, like, why don't they get him the ball more? They finally started to, and he had how many targets on the season?
Did he have 50?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
He was very efficient.
Yep.
And that leads to, okay, now I feel like I should give you more. Like, look, just here's an overall point again. Do you know how many catches Dawson Knox had in the stretch the Bills won to close out the season? How many catches did Dawson Knox have down that stretch they were winning games?
20.
Seven.
It's like one per game.
Is it good to not throw it? Should they? Right? Like how many direct, and this is the point the caller's making, like not everything is a direct line, which is, I think, a good way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be sitting here saying, well, make sure you don't throw to Knox too much because when you won your games, he only had seven catches
mm-hmm.
in like the last 5 weeks.
Right.
Now I think his target share is going to go up because there's a, you know, there's a vacated number of targets from Diggs and Davis. I mean, Davis would have zero targets in a game and they would win. Should I take that to mean that it's actually good to not target your second receiver in a game?
All right.
I don't think that's good. I think it's kind of gets to the point the caller makes. Like, too many direct lines are made to, well, they won this game, so this must be it. They won this game in L.A. beating Easton Stick by 2 points. Yeah. They won this game against Dallas because the Cowboys never came out of the defensive formation they were in. They ran down their throats. How many other times did they do that the rest of the season? They didn't. Like, what happens in one game or a stretch of five games? Okay. Everybody wants to make the point, like, you know, we end up talking about Diggs a lot because there's Diggs news a lot, but everyone wants to talk about this targeting point. He played 50 games for the franchise, and he got targeted a lot in 40 of them, and they won four straight titles.
It was all of them. There was a stretch where he had at least seven targets, I think, and it was like every game he played for the Bills until like last year.
And they won.
Like, it was every game.
And they won a lot of those games.
Yeah.
So if fast forward, like turn the page here, not to try to be obsessed with the past. If Curtis Samuel gets 160 targets this year, I'm going to say, like, without even seeing the year, that's great news. That means he earned 160 looks from Josh Allen.
Right.
And he's going to have how many yards? 1,500?
Well, that's because that's another where, like, target, the conversation around who gets what targets often just goes to, well, you're deciding to go to all of those players with your targets, right? And a lot of that actually is the case. Like, we'll talk to Joe Marino in 15 minutes. I'm sure he would tell me, you know, there are scripted plays, right, where, like, this play is designed to go to this player. Like, of course there are plays like that. But, right, you said earned. Earned is usually what targets mean to me, is this guy was open that often. If you're not open ever, you're not getting 150 targets. It's never going to happen.
Right.
You have to earn. You have to be good enough to earn them. It's not the coach and the quarterback decided we're going to throw the ball to him 130 times. More often will be, you know, this guy's open again, and Allen drops back to pass, and he looks for his second read, and there's Curtis Samuel standing open. Boom, target. That wasn't a decision to go to Curtis Samuel. It was he got away from his man, and now he has the football. That's a target.
And the Bills have done this. Diggs is a success story in the target department. So is Cole Beasley. Beasley's career.
Beasley had 100, didn't he?
Beasley had three straight years of 100 targets or more.
Yeah.
106, 107, and 112.
Yeah.
That was this guy. We're just going to throw the ball to him because it's free. Free yards. Easy button, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's. Like, there's an irony baked in here that we kind of framed this conversation about forcing targets, and yet, in the case of Beasley, these are the easy button targets. We need more of those. We need more of the throws to Shakir where it's easy. You're almost forcing it on the easy throw, but that's a good thing. So sometimes I think the language about forcing balls is just, it makes it sound like you are making a decision like, well, we don't really want to do, like, you're eating broccoli. It's not what this. I like broccoli. That's not what this is.
You like broccoli?
Yeah, sure.
You hate eggs, but you like broccoli.
Yes.
What a world.
What's wrong with broccoli? Broccoli's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Throw some seasoning on there.
I mean, if I'm choosing anything in the world, am I choosing broccoli? Maybe not. So maybe I'm forcing some broccoli on myself. But that's the point. Like, who are the Chiefs going to throw the ball to this year? Are they going to force it to Kelce? Or are they just going to throw it to Kelce? Because he's available all the time.
That is, though, the one thing that I wonder, like, as we, and Diggs said yesterday in the GQ piece, like, it was the coordinator, basically. Or it was the offense as a whole, but he basically said it was the coordinator. What changed at the end? Because they didn't stop throwing him the football. It was just how they threw him the football. Like, you know, like, I'm trying to find the exact number. He was top 10 in the league in targets when Joe Brady was there. Like, they didn't phase him out of the offense. They changed how he was in the offense.
And he did not have a lot of drops. He had one very important one.
He did not have
a lot of drops.
Right.
He did have...
No, more often you'll find clips. There was one in the Charger game that they almost lost. Of he beat, and this was something he was not doing to the same degree last year. Matt Harmon broke down that the one area that he took a step back was downfield routes. In that Charger game, though, he got by his men. He had an 80-yard touchdown that he would have walked to, and Allen overthrew him. So there were more plays, I think, that were left out there for Diggs where he beat his man down the field than he dropped. I mean, he only dropped, was it two, maybe? It was at least one, because we all remember one of them.
803-0550. Mark in Buffalo. Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm going to say I'm more excited to see the defense. And that's mostly because I think if we can stay the top 10, top 12 overall, then our offense is good enough, with Josh Allen in particular, to carry us and find ways to win, as evidenced last year. I think if the defense is slow out of the gate or struggles, they are less adaptable, if that's the right word, than Josh Allen and the offense would be. Josh can run, Josh can not run, go deep, not go deep, check down, all kinds of things can happen. I don't think the defense is as malleable without a superstar like Josh Allen on it.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Thanks, Mark. I think it makes a lot of sense. The offense has a bit of a cheat code, and the defense has really nice pieces, a couple of them, like Rousseau, Bernard, who could be named a captain today as well. Bernard's a good answer for this.
Sure. Milano's middle linebacker could always be potential.
They got a lot of nice pieces, and maybe this draft class. So yesterday, if you missed it, at 8 o'clock, we talked with Carrington Harrison, who covers the Chiefs. And I asked him about a parallel. This is going to point to the defense here for a moment. I asked him for a parallel for the Bills and the Chiefs, because the Chiefs got rid of their star receiver and had a year in transition, and they still won the Super Bowl, which is something that they've done a lot. But the question was, like, all right, can Bills fans draw any parallels? You're supposed to be a year in transition, but you win a bunch anyway, more than maybe even you thought. That's what the Chiefs did when they won the Super Bowl the first year after Tyreek Hill. And he said what happened for the Chiefs that year was they got young draft picks to come in and perform in a big way right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis,
yep,
and Isaiah Pacheco. Like, right away, it was an infusion of
Rushy Rice last year. But he was talking about two years ago.
This is two years ago.
Yep.
Their, finger quotes, transition year.
Yep.
It's funny. The Chiefs have three Super Bowls. One of them is a transition year. The other is a down year.
Yeah.
By the way people talk about
that
them.
Year, it was McDuffie as a first-round pick started. George Karlaftis, defensive end in the first round, started. Brian Cook as a safety in the second round, started. Isaiah Pacheco as a seventh-round rookie at running back, started. So they had four starters.
Contributions right
Sky
away.
Moore also started a few games. He wasn't very good.
No.
But they had four regular starters from one draft class in the first year that they drafted him.
Of course, they have Mahomes and Kelsey and some good players too. But I thought,
yeah, it's pretty,
what's a pathway to, hey, you talk about it like a year in transition, but you overperform.
You need rookies.
That's going to be some rookies. That's going to be Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, and then, you know, whether it's
Ray Davis.
Sure, but he's
he'd be
replacing a good player. I'm thinking more about Dwayne Carter, thinking about guys that can make a big difference for them.
Could be big on Cole Bishop for that.
That's right.
He's playing a position that is wide open for someone to just grab it.
Right, that has DeMar Hamlin on the depth chart, number one, as of today at least.
Yeah, and it's Coleman, of course.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. What do you want to see Sunday? Like, what are you here to see? If there's one player, who is it if it's one player? It's got to be Coleman, right? Who's the one player you want to see?
I think 90. If you put a poll up, you'd have to say except not including, right? Coleman would have to be not included.
Yeah.
Not even just to see how good everything. I said yesterday, like, I don't even know if he's fast or not. I want to see that. I want to see how he's used. I want to see how often he's used. If he's good in the ways he's used. Every single element.
That gets
of
back
Coleman.
To the point about the preseason, where I really feel like it's preseason. We saw less than we've seen in, well, I know the preseason can be a lie.
Yeah.
But we didn't even really get Coleman in the preseason.
Beyond
two catches.
Beyond him, can my answer maybe be Vaughn for this? Not even because he's not new. I'm just no idea what he's going to give them, and I feel like there's a very large range of outcomes there. So Vaughn, too, like, does he look normal again? Because if he is, I mean, that's a double-digit sack guy, maybe. If he looks similar to last year, then I'm thinking maybe he's a zero for you. So Vaughn would be on my list also.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We're also getting closer to Tom Brady's broadcast debut. You're going to be excited for that. Cowboys and Browns.
A lot of fans will be driving home.
Do you have
during that?
Do you have a? If you're doing a survivor pool this week, the entire world is going to be on Cincinnati over New England, right? The whole world.
Who does Carolina play? New Orleans. So okay, no, I mean, you could be on that.
You could be on Bills Cardinals. That's the second biggest spread. But I looked at a bunch of the games, and again, early in the season, Cincinnati. It's hard to get a feel on some of these teams. Cincinnati's at New England. Come on.
Yeah, is that how you play a survivor pool, though? You just go for the automatic, the big favorite?
Early? Yeah. I got to make it to week two.
Yeah. See,
you're going to get cute and get knocked out in week one, aren't you?
Well, I want to get cute and bet on everyone else to get knocked out.
Oh.
Because if New England pulls the upset, the big upset that nobody saw coming,
right? Well, like, Pittsburgh,
then it's me and like 5% of the remaining pool left to battle it out. And I could still get, like, I might take the Saints, because aren't a lot of these survivor pools too, like, you only get to pick a team once? When am I going to pick the Saints again? Let me get the Saints against a joke of a franchise right now in the Panthers.
I can't believe anybody on earth would start a survivor pool and be like, Saints, baby.
Saints. New Orleans. Yeah.
No way.
Look at this. Tickets as low as $22. That's got to be the lowest in the league this week. Yeah, why not? It's not about the Saints, it's about the Panthers.
Yeah, I got plenty. You got weeks to survive.
At home against Carolina, I don't care who the team is. You tell me I get a home game against the Panthers. That's all I need. Should I wait a week to see if this coach is good, maybe?
Yes, you should wait a week.
Who else could you pick for this?
I think it's new. I mean, like, New England is, you're going to make it to week two.
You couldn't pick the Bills.
Don't forget, though, the Bengals did lose their opener, 2 years ago? Burrow threw 5 picks against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Anyway. I heard Bulldog yesterday is going by my logic. If he's trying to go against the grain, rooting for another big upset, so it's just him in a smaller pool, he, though, is picking the Niners.
Over the Jets.
Which I'm not that bold. I'm not picking against... I mean, I'm betting against the Jets for the season, but I'm not ready to bet against them in a survivor pool.
803-0550. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. When we return, we'll talk about the matchup with Arizona. It is, of course, a game week. Season starts tomorrow. Football on quite a bit starting tomorrow night. Excited about it. So Joe Marino helps us break down Bills, Cardinals, what to expect in the matchup coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Grateful just to have the trust of the coaches. I would say it was kind of like a switch because there's still a lot left to be done. You know, a lot left to prove, not to only me, but my teammates now, because I'm given that opportunity to be on this team to help this team win. So, you know, in this league, there's no security. So I just keep coming out here, putting work in every day, put good stuff on tape.
Buffalo Bills linebacker Joe Andreessen. Bills gearing up for the Arizona Cardinals. It's game week. We go to the Western Hotline for the host of the Locked On Bills podcast, Joe Marino. Joe, good morning. Welcome back to another wonderful NFL season.
Jeremy is here. Thank God. All the speculation we've been doing for the last I don't know what, 8 months, finally is behind us, and we get to talk about some real games. So I'm pretty excited.
That's right. Game tomorrow, Chiefs and Ravens. Game Friday, and then, of course, Bills and Cardinals. Joe, you know, like, openers are interesting, especially if there's a lot of change. And I feel like this Bills-Cardinals matchup represents teams that have gone through pretty big changes. The Bills, of course, you know, we've well documented what changes they've gone through. And in Arizona, they get their starting quarterback a full season and a number one receiver in the draft in Marvin Harrison Jr. And they've got the breakout of Trey McBride. I wonder what kind of threat you think this Arizona team offers, or what kind of barometer you think they offer for the Bills in week one.
Definitely a unique opponent, and Arizona is in year two of this Monty Austin Ford, Jonathan Gannon regime. And let's be honest, they had quite the hole to dig out of. And what's interesting about their rebuild is they're doing it while they're already paying their quarterback in Kyler Murray. And obviously year one was not an easy season for them, with Kyler Murray coming off of an ACL and missing, you know, a good chunk of the beginning of the season. And so they're trying to implement what they want to be as a football team, and they're doing so without their starting quarterback, who's a unique player, right? Kyler Murray's not a traditional drop-back player. He's definitely one of those guys that likes to play off script and create some chaos and run around and make plays with his feet. And so Arizona, I'm sure, is very excited to have this opportunity to install the offense under offensive coordinator Drew Petzing and build upon what they did last year offensively, which was showcase that they can run the football. That's the thing about Arizona. I mean, obviously Kyler Murray is a dynamic player and can make some really unique plays, but they can run the ball. And James Conner's a good back. They have a good run-blocking offensive line. They got a good-looking young rookie here in Trey Benson out of Florida State, who I think gives them even more depth in the backfield. So certainly a lot more potent in the passing game with Kyler Murray, with Marvin Harrison, Trey McBride, a good young tight end. But you got to be ready to stop the run against this Cardinals team, because that was what they showed they could do last year, and I'm sure they want to build upon that, at least when it comes to this offense.
It's been something, run defense, that, you know, the Bills have been gashed by big plays in high-profile spots, and sometimes I feel like that is maybe oversold some of their problems. And they're big, big mistakes in those years. What level of confidence should Bills fans have in this group when it comes to stopping the run?
Well, I mean, real quick, Arizona, 5 yards per carry last season. That's second best in the NFL. They were number four in overall rushing yards. And again, Kyler Murray didn't – he only played 8 games, right? So you did half of this with not Kyler Murray running the ball. So they run the ball well despite not having Kyler Murray. For the Bills in the run defense, it feels like they do have those leaky moments. It's never a snap-by-snap thing. You know, I think the Bills – snap to snap are a good run defense, but it's preventing those big, long, explosive runs that just seem to creep up from time to time. And I think the good news for the Bills is the lead ball carrier, James Conner, not necessarily a breakaway threat in terms of speed, but certainly physical, and he's going to grind out a lot of tough yards, and you're going to have to bring an honest effort to get him down. But if they can get some creases for Trey Benson, that's the guy that I think can hit some home runs. And so for the Bills and their run defense, I think the excitement should come from the depth at defensive tackle. I think that's an area of this team that's a lot better. Of course, Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver as the starting pair is really good. But a guy like Austin Johnson to be able to step in there and provide some stability behind Daquan Jones, I think is going to be a big deal. And I think it's a big upgrade from Jordan Phillips and Tim Settle, who often filled that role. Not to mention Dwayne Carter, the rookie third-round pick out of Duke, who I thought was at his best this preseason defending the run. So I like that mix. It's going to be about how sound they can be on the second level. Can Dorian Williams come in as the assumed starter next to Terrell Bernard and be sound as a downhill player? I think that's where he's at his best, but you obviously want to see it come together in a big moment. So big test here early for the defensive tackles, linebackers for the Bills on defense.
Yeah, with you saying that, it kind of builds up, I guess, Joe, as a big game and a tough challenge for Dorian Williams and maybe Terrell Bernard too, just in that, like, all you just said about the run game. And middle of the defense, like, Trey McBride broke out last year at tight end. And I know that's not just going to be only Dorian Williams' responsibility, but it kind of builds up, know that he's going to have a big challenge on his plate.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think the spine of this defense, you think about Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, Taylor Rapp, and whoever's starting next to him, question marks there, right? You have some unproven players in a big spot right away, and certainly Arizona is going to test that. I think any offense is going to test that. Miami next week is going to want to test those matchups. And so you mentioned McBride, good-looking young tight end. I think he's in that conversation with Dalton Kincaid and Sam Laporta as this next wave of really good NFL tight ends. And I'm curious to see how the Bills handle it, because I think in man coverage, Dorian Williams, I think profiles extremely well to be able to mirror and match. It's, you know, obviously the Bills want to run a lot of zone, and McBride is a player that I thought had a lot of success last year finding space, catching the ball, turning and running. You know, not a lot of average depth of target, but finding those vacancies in zone coverage and then just getting yards after catch, that's really where he shined. Obviously, they're going to want to build upon that with a full offseason with Kyler Murray to get that going, not to mention they have a legit outside threat in Marvin Harrison Jr. I know he's a rookie, but he's special. You guys heard me rave about him all draft season long. And so, you know, they can stress you in terms of your spacing in so many different ways with a perimeter threat like that, with the middle of the field target like McBride, with the run game, and of course, a quarterback like Kyler Murray who can run all over the place and stress you horizontally. And of course, he has a big arm. So, you know, I think there's a lot that has to come together for this offense in Arizona, but you can see how it can be potent.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Marino joining us on the Western Hotline. You know, he got double teamed a lot in college. Like, he was given a ton of respect. And I wonder how a Sean McDermott defense will approach this, Joe. Like, what you don't have a lot of film on him in the NFL. Like, you would have scouted him, I'm sure. You know what he can do, but you've yet to see how he has been deployed. Do they pay a lot of attention to him, or is it the kind of thing where I feel like you're not going to dare a guy that good to beat you in his first ever game, but there's not yet a body of work. How do you see McDermott defenses handling a challenge like that?
You know, I always think about stuff like that, and do you do different things for a player like this? And, you know, I know in a weird way I want to bring up Miami last year where, you know, you felt like that was such a unique offense and, you know, they can really stress you in so many different ways. And you think about this Cardinals team, and it's not necessarily anywhere near as dynamic as what Miami can be on offense. But I think there's some new variables that makes it difficult to really know what to expect in week one. And that's when I think that you just stay true to who you are as a defense. You don't reinvent anything. You know your rules. You know what you want to be as a unit, and just play. Just execute and dare them to consistently make plays and score, right? Like, I think that's what this Bills defense is set up for. You want to force some negative plays and turnovers, but at the end of the day, can you execute 8, 9, 10, 11 plays in a row to be able to score? I think you just stay to your rules, and within that, you'll take care of all of the unexpected opportunities that they may try to invoke against your defense that has a lot of new pieces and, of course, a lot of new pieces on this Arizona offense.
Joe Marino on the Western Hotline. Before we let you go, Joe, we're asking the question, people more excited or eager to see the offense or the defense. We've kind of gone through a lot of the defense and how they might approach this Arizona attack. This Bills offense, what are you looking for week one? Like, is there a thing you're hoping to see early from Joe Brady?
Well, I mean, we just talked a lot about the Cardinals on offense, but I think where the real opportunities exist for the Bills is a superstar quarterback in Josh Allen against a very suspect defense. I think personnel-wise, this Cardinals defense is very undermanned, and the Bills should be able to take advantage of a lot of opportunities. And so I think this is a really good matchup for Josh Allen in week one to play and execute and get some reps. You know, obviously, I don't think that Sean McDermott was able to get as much time in the preseason with the starters on the field, and you kind of wonder about that going into week one. Well, I think this is a good – I hate to call it a tune-up because I have a lot of respect for every team in the NFL, but I think it's an undermanned defense, and I think this is a great opportunity for this offense to find their footing before, obviously, this stretch of, you know, Miami and Jacksonville with their second and third games.
And finally, Joe, prediction for the season? Are you a fifth straight division title, a playoffs wild card? Where are you landing on the Bills this season for where you think they'll finish?
I think the Bills win the East. I think it's going to be really tight. And what's going to be hard to navigate is the schedule for the Bills coupled with the Jets and Dolphins. Their first 10 games, it's a cakewalk. I mean, I could see those teams being 8-2, 9-1, something like that. But then it really kind of changes where I think the Bills, it softens up a little bit down the stretch, and the Jets and Dolphins, I think it tightens up. And so it could be another one of those come-from-behind rally-type situations. But I think with Miami, too many questions with the offensive line. Their defense has to come together. I think their offense is going to be really good, but I still think that some of the warps that you've seen in recent years will show up. And then the Jets, I mean, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played good ball in 3 years. They're counting on a lot of injured guys to not be injured. I think their defense doesn't have the depth it's had, especially up front in recent years. And so I think the Jets are more of an 8 or 9 win team. I think Miami is a 9 to 11 win team. And I think the Bills can probably push 10, 11 wins and, you know, have the help of some tiebreakers along the way. So I think they get there for the fifth straight, but I don't think it's going to come without quite the battle here for what I think is going to be a very competitive race, maybe the most competitive race in all of football.
Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, wherever you get your podcast, subscribe to it and make it a daily listen. Joe, thanks again. We'll chat next week after Arizona and as a quick turnaround for the first Miami matchup of the season.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills. Again, you can get that through the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Joe does a great job. And happy to have him back for another football season. Move the time, though. 7:30 on Wednesdays now for Joe. Stat of the day when we get back, and it will lead to instant trivia.
Okay.
Howard will join us and pick the Bills coming up at 8, Sal at 9. We've got the head coach is going to speak later today. It is a game week. It is media day, and football season is here. When do the 506 charts come out?
Oh.
506sports.com showing everybody.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah.
I have the Sunday ticket, so it doesn't really matter for me. But I still like seeing the map with the colors. That's when it's football season, is when the map with the colors comes out.
We do. They will be posted today.
Oh, beautiful.
506 Sports. The week one maps will be posted today.
Love it. Let's go. Stat of the day and some instant trivia when we return. Stat of the day is going to lead us into instant trivia. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Howard picks the Bills coming up next segment. We'll chat about Howard of the season and then make him pick the Bills. So, saw this from the Washington Post. 40 years ago in the NFL, the 1984 season, two records got set. Eric Dickerson set the record for rushing yards.
Okay.
It's never been beaten.
Really? He still has it?
He still has it. Adrian Peterson got like 2 yards away, right?
Yes, that's right. Okay.
Eric Dickerson has the record for rushing yards in a season. That same season, Art Monk set the record for receptions in a season.
Wow, the 84 Rams? Rams, yeah.
For Dickerson, yes, the 84.
I see.
Washington
okay.
for Art
yeah,
Monk.
Different teams. Yeah.
How many? So Dickerson, 40 years ago, never broken. How many times has Art Monk's record been broken?
Oh, man, I mean...
Surpassed
25 times.
It's been surpassed 91 times. 100 receptions in a season is not that uncommon anymore. It's happened an awful lot.
Yeah,
Monk set the record 40 years ago with 106. We just keep the stats music rolling. Here's the trivia: most 100 catch seasons. Mm-hmm. The number is 6.
Okay,
three players this year have a chance to get to that number. 6 100 catch seasons. Who are the three active NFL receivers that can match the record held by Antonio Brown and Brandon Marshall? They each have 6 100 catch seasons.
Wow, Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall. There are three active receivers that can get their 6th season of 100 catches or more this year.
Okay. Tyreek Hill.
No.
No. All right. How about Keenan Allen?
Yes. Keenan Allen has 5 seasons of 100 catches or more.
Okay. How about
Tyreek Hill, by the way, has 3.
Really?
It's the last 3.
Did he only do it once in Kansas City?
When he was in Kansas City, his career high output for yards was 1,276. Guess what Miami did? Hey, we should throw you the ball more. 1,700 yards.
Yeah.
Like Tyreek Hill, you know, hey, throw it more. They force him the ball.
Right.
So Keenan Allen, yes, 2 more.
Davante Adams?
Correct. Davante Adams, if he gets 100 catches this year, would have 6 seasons of 100 catches or more.
I think I'd be surprised if he did that. How about DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
How about
Hopkins has 4 seasons of 100 catches or more.
Okay. Diggs?
Yep.
Diggs.
Adams, Diggs, and Keenan Allen could join the 6 100 catch club. 6 season 100 catch club. And
4 in Buffalo, 1 in Minnesota,
yep.
I think.
Yeah. Yep. In fact, 5 in a row. I think 5 in a row is the record. Antonio Brown has 6 of them. I think 5 in a row is also the NFL record. Okay. So I don't know if Allen or Diggs or Devontae Adams are going to do that, but they all can. Howard picks the Bills when we return.
Brown had six in a row.
Okay.
So six is the record.
Six total and six in a row?
Yep.
All right. He was good.
These numbers, man. That 6-year period. It might be the best 6-year period for a receiver ever.
He had like 900 catches in 6 years.
He had a whole Hall of Fame career in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
and played his way off a couple teams. The pro.
Yeah.
How many teams? Three teams. Yeah. Raiders, Steelers, Raiders, Bucks,
Patriots.
Four.
He played a game and caught a touchdown for the Patriots.
He went to the Patriots?
He played a game for the Patriots.
With Brady?
Yeah, and he wore number 17. He caught a touchdown.
I forgot that he went to the Patriots with Brady and not just with the Bucs.
One game, four catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown, wearing number 17 with Brady's Patriots.
Did he play his way off that team?
No.
Or did the season just end?
He was under investigation for sexual assault, I believe, and then was cut.
All right. Get a break in. It's a football Wednesday. Season begins tomorrow. Chiefs and Ravens. We'll talk with Sean Steppner, WMAR, in Baltimore tomorrow to get the Ravens side of the story. Got the Chiefs yesterday. But next, it is time. Another page in your football book. Another chapter in your football book. Another piece of tradition. Howard picks the Bills.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.